Welcome to the 23 Minutes in Hell podcast, where author and speaker Bill Weiss and his wife Annette address the many questions and concerns that we all have about the topic of hell and eternity. Bill and Annette believe the subject of hell shouldn't grip us with fear, but instead should inspire us to invest the time we have left on earth wisely. Tune in for today's enlightening broadcast.
Thank you for joining us.
Today, we're going to be expounding on Bill's 23 minutes in hell experience.
That's right.
And I know for Bill, the most important thing is always, what does the scripture say about hell? And you always tell people, which I do appreciate, even if you don't believe my story, I hope you will believe the scriptures and avoid hell just the same. But, you know, I know people want to hear about what you did experience. And if I could just ask you, first of all, this was a vision, correct?
Correct. This was not a near-death experience. This was an out-of-body experience that would be classified as a vision in the Bible. You know, in 2 Corinthians 12:2, Paul, when he was caught up into heaven in a vision, he said whether in the body or out of the body, he didn't know. Well, the Lord showed me that I left my body. So in a vision, you can actually travel. Like Paul and John actually traveled to heaven. And this is not to compare my experience with any of the great men of the Bible. I'm just trying to give you a scriptural basis of how this can occur for a Christian. The only way a Christian can see hell is in a dream or a vision. And Job 7:14 says, "You scare me with dreams and terrify me through visions." Isaiah 21:2, he was given a grievous vision. And in Job 4:14, Eliphaz was given a vision that caused his bones to shake. So you can have a grievous, terrifying, bone-shaking vision, and you can travel. In Ezekiel chapter 8, he was picked up by his hair and carried from Babylon to Jerusalem in a vision. He was told to eat. He experienced the sweetness of the food in his stomach. He wept. He conversed. So my point is, the things experienced in your spirit body is just as real as it would be in your physical body. 1 Corinthians 15:44 talks about a natural body and a spirit body. So I was in my spirit body traveling. And, you know, it also in Acts 2:17, it says, "In the last days, your young men shall see visions and your old men shall dream dreams." So God's just fulfilling his word by giving people dreams and visions in these last days. I'm just one of the many. Nothing real special.
Exactly. And I know this happened to you in 1998, 1 year and 2 weeks after we were married.
That's right.
You were considered a young man then.
I was
young
definitely.
Young man.
Yeah, I was young then. That's right. You know, in Numbers 12:6 says, "I make myself known in a vision." So, you know, God can make himself known through a vision. And again, this is just something he did on his own. I never sought this. I never wanted to see hell. I had no interest in hell. I was a Christian at that point for 28 years, serving God, loved the Lord. I had never studied the topic of hell. I've never gone to dark movies. I never drank. I've never taken drugs. So this was not a result of anything I've done. God just supernaturally gave me that vision of hell. So, yeah, there's many other visions also all through the Bible. There's 34 different visions and 35 different dreams that God gave people in the Bible.
Yes, that's exactly right.
So it's scriptural.
And so, Bill, also, just quickly, I know you point this out a lot of times when you share your experience, but why is it important for a Christian to hear about hell?
Well, three reasons. Number one, when you know how severe hell is, you'll be much more appreciative of your own salvation from what he saved you from. Number two, it'll cause you as a Christian to walk more in the fear of the Lord, a reverence for God, and obedience towards God. Number three, it gives us as Christians more of a passion for the lost, a desire to want to witness, so we won't be so complacent. And I just want to read a few quotes here, one from Dr. Robert A. Peterson. He was a PhD from Drew University. In his book, Hell on Trial, page 201, he said this, "First, studying hell increases my appreciation for the Savior's suffering. Second, my desire that people be spared such a fate has produced in me a greater boldness to tell them the good news." Then he went on to say, "I want people who do not know the Lord to fear God's wrath. In fact, anyone who cares for the lost will attempt to warn them." That's in page 236 of his book. And then one more quote, Charles Spurgeon, he said, in The Soul Winner, page 9, he said, "Soul winning is the chief business of the Christian. It should be the main pursuit of every true believer." So it'll produce in you more of an urgency for the lost when you see how severe hell is.
That's a great quote. Also, in this vision, did you remember that you were a Christian?
No, God actually blocked that from my mind. People say, "Well, where's that in the Bible?" Luke 24:16, when Jesus appeared to the disciples on the road to Emmaus, it says, quote, their eyes were holden that they should not know him. John MacArthur's commentary and Matthew Henry's point out, quote, they were kept by God from recognizing him. God hid it from their minds who he was. Other examples of this are in John 20:14, Luke 18:34, Daniel 4:34, 2 Kings 4:27, all places where God hid something from their mind. And he hid it from my mind for this reason. You see, if I was there as a Christian, which I was, but I didn't realize, I would have known, praise God, he's getting me out of this place. Because we know as Christians, our destiny is heaven. But he wanted me to experience what they feel, the hopelessness. See, Isaiah 38:18 says, those who go down to the pit cannot hope for thy truth. And we know Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. They have no hope for him because it's too late. And that's what he wanted me to experience. And that is the worst part of hell, understanding you will never, ever escape this place. That's what he wanted me to experience.
I know that's a tough one for a lot of people to wrap their minds around, that it is forever.
That's right.
You will never, ever get out.
Right. But heaven is forever also, you know, and nobody has to go to this place. God gives them a free will to choose, and he's trying throughout their whole life to keep them out. He warns them
absolutely
every which way to get their attention. But he gives them a free will.
Absolutely. You know, also in the Bible, in Luke 16, the rich man asked Abraham to send back Lazarus to warn his brothers. Abraham said they wouldn't believe even the dead returning. So some have asked, Bill, so why would God send you?
Good question, but I don't fit that scenario for two reasons. Number one, I wasn't dead. I'm not coming back from the dead. This was just a vision.
Exactly.
And number two, I'm not telling anyone to look at me and be persuaded. I'm just a signpost to point them to the scriptures and by those be persuaded. That's all that matters is the word of God.
Bill, can you describe the demons that you experienced and saw in hell?
Yes. Two that first appeared in the cell I was in were reptilish in appearance, bumps and scales all over the one's body, huge jaw, sunken in eyes, claws are actually about a foot long. And these particular two are about 12 or 13 feet tall. That's not an exaggeration. There's even scripture for that. Genesis 6:4, Deuteronomy 3:11 indicate that. But they were twisted, deformed, and grotesque, the most hideous looking scriptures. And reptilish.
Scriptures. Like I said. You said the most hideous scriptures.
I'm sorry. Anyway.
Creatures.
Hideous creatures. And they were really, really horrible to look upon. But, you know, there's other scriptures, too, that describe, in Revelation 16, talks about demons that look like frogs. That's kind of reptilish and so forth. And in Revelation 12:9, Satan is described as a serpent. And I saw snakes in hell and so forth. You know, describe some of the things that the Bible describes, like in Revelation 4:6 talks about the four beasts. They were full of eyes, six wings. These are not demons. These are in heaven, but just creatures that were unusual.
Yes.
Isaiah 6:2 talks about the seraphim angel. They have six wings. Ezekiel 10:14 talks about the cherub angels. They have four faces, four wings. They were full of eyes and a wheel spinning within a wheel. They had feet like the sole of a calf's foot, burning coals of fire going up and down them. And they ran and returned like a flash of lightning. This is him trying to describe these creatures of heaven.
Yes.
So in hell, there's some creatures that's difficult to describe.
Those cherubims really sound interesting.
They do.
You know, the wheel spinning within a wheel.
That's right. And I think that's a lot of when people see UFOs. And they say, oh, they saw a UFO. And they really are sincere. I believe they're seeing an appearance of a cherub angel, which some of the demons that fell could have been cherub angels mm-hmm. because Satan was a cherub angel. And so that's probably what they're seeing appear into our atmosphere is a wheel spinning within a wheel. That sounds like a UFO.
Yeah, that makes sense. You know, and in hell also, why couldn't you breathe?
You know, for Isaiah 42:5 says, the Lord gives breath to the people upon the earth. Well, you're not upon the earth, you're down deep beneath the earth. God's very specific with his word. And breath comes from God. You know, he's the one giving us our breath. And in hell, it's absent from all God's attributes. And I give a video about that explaining that all the good we enjoy in life, the fresh air, sunshine, fellowship, drinking, eating, sleeping, all that good comes from God. Psalms 33:5 says the earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. So we get to enjoy his goodness, but hell is a place void of all his attributes. So there's not even breath, you know. Job 34:14 says, if he gathers unto himself his spirit and his breath, all flesh shall perish. And your flesh is perished when you go to hell. You're in your spirit body. So even breathing is extremely difficult in hell.
You know, I think people don't really realize the good things that go with God.
That's right.
Something as simple as breath and breathing.
Right.
And breathing normally. And probably only an asthma patient would experience that, or someone going under the water feeling like they're about to drown, possibly a fireman in the smoke in a fire.
Right. Would get a
glimpse of that. And, you know, also the good is just movement, you know, us being able to move.
That's right. Right, movement. Acts 17:28 says, in him we live and move and have our being. So even movement comes from God. It's not automatic. And, you know, when some people are paralyzed, you know, and sick or whatever, and they can't move. See, that's a blessing from God, movement, and everything we enjoy. So when you're separated from God, you're separated from all good. Because James 1:17 says, every good and perfect gift comes down from above, from the Father of lights. So if you're separated from God, you're separated from his good, his goodness. All these good things we enjoy come from him.
You know, that really makes me think about, if you just focused each morning on those types of things, all the small, even little things that we have that we can be grateful for.
That's right.
It would turn our mindset around.
I know, people complain about the smallest things, and yet they can get up and eat, they can breathe, they can sleep, they can talk, walk, all the things God allows us to enjoy. There's so much we have to be thankful for.
I know. When you travel overseas and you come back to the United States of America, I really am grateful for things sometimes, like the simple things like a pillow or a warm shower or a clean shower,
right,
or things like that you really take for granted living in this country. So
right,
it would help us all to just remember that.
Right.
You know, in hell, you mentioned it is a place of confusion.
That's right. You know, we serve a God of order. Order comes from God. 2 Chronicles 29:35, 1 Corinthians 14:40, Isaiah 9:17, Psalms 119:133. Explain that. But Jeremiah 20:11, and Isaiah 45:16 mention it's a land of everlasting confusion. And because, again, it's absent from God, and God's a God of order. And Job, there's a scripture in Job that talks about it's also a land without any order, Job 10:22. So we like things in order in life. Hell's the antithesis. Confusion, chaos, hectic. Nothing makes any sense in hell. It can almost drive you nuts, actually, in hell, but you don't go crazy. But it's so chaotic in hell.
I think it was in your book, also 23 Minutes in Hell, that you even mentioned when you were a child that your mom noticed how much you liked things in order.
That's right.
You would put your toys in order. You would keep your room clean.
That's
right. You even enjoyed wearing three-piece suits as a kid.
I know. You have to pray for me there. I know. But I love order, and hell, like I said, is the antithesis, because we serve a God of order.
Exactly. And then, Bill, what was the fear like?
You know, the Bible says fear has torment, 1 John 4:18. And the fear in hell is so far beyond anything any of us can imagine. And just to share with you a quick experience, I used to surf when I was 17, and I was attacked by a 10-foot tiger shark. The shark bit my board in half, came back and grabbed my leg and pulled me down under the water. Now, you can imagine the fear that I felt at that moment. It's pretty terrifying. You are so helpless in the water with this enormous shark that has huge teeth and tremendous power, and you can't do anything against it. And that shark pulled me down. Well, you can imagine the fear that I felt. That fear at that moment paled in comparison to what you feel in hell. Wouldn't even register. But see, Psalm 73:18-19 says, you cast them down into destruction where they are utterly consumed with terror. And you're consumed with this terror for all eternity, because there's so many things to fear there. There's demons that can torment you. There's extreme darkness. There's intense heat. There's screams that just deafening screams and horrible things that's going on in hell. So These are all things that would cause fear.
So everything is just magnified. It seems to be, I believe you said in your book, 1,000 times more. So the fear would be just magnified so much more than, you know, fear that we experience on the earth. And there's most people have some form of fear in their lives. Perhaps it's of heights or a fear of speed or public speaking.
That's right, right. Some kind of fear people have experienced, but
it doesn't compare to the fear in hell, correct?
No, not even close, not even close.
I think we're going to actually have to continue this next time, and I know we're just brushing the surface, so I'm looking forward to getting into more detail about your 23 minutes in hell experience.
Yeah, okay, we'll continue it next time, and we're so glad you joined us. We look forward to seeing you soon.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed today's podcast, please be sure to subscribe, rate this program, and share it on social media outlets. To stay in touch with us and learn more about this ministry, consider checking out our resources at soulchoiceministries.org.